Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. While you're going there, every once in a while as a pastor, I have to rectify problems that exist within the church. And so before we get into the Word this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a problem that I see at Trinity. Would that be all right? I think that one of the biggest problems we have as a church is that we are too quiet. I'll be really honest with you. I think we should be heard in a greater proportion during worship. I think that we shouldn't be able to hear the worship team and our worship leader as much as we do. I think we should try to drown him out. I'm serious. More exuberance in our worship, but even beyond that, I think that there are times in our lives where we are just too quiet. There's a time to speak up, and there's a time to be quiet. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a season for everything. But I think this morning, as we begin to move through this word that I believe the Spirit of God has laid on my heart, I think that we're going to understand what I'm talking about as far as being too quiet. Folks, I got to tell you something. God has given us a mouth for a reason. Amen? And now this is a real revelation to me, but it's more than just to put food in. Come on. Okay. Let me just make this statement. The Word of God, spoken in faith, in the name of Jesus, has awesome power. I'm going to say it again. The Word of God, spoken in faith in the name of Jesus, has awesome power. I mean, do you realize the insurmountable situations that the Word of God can conquer in our lives? I mean, Jesus Christ said this himself. He said, if you speak to this mountain and you don't doubt it in your heart, he told us that that mountain would be cast into the sea. And, we live in a grand place to be able to go find us a mountain. Just go find you a mountain and sit at the foot of it and just look and understand what God is saying to us at the power of his word in our mouths. So that brings us to Isaiah 55. Let's go ahead and skip forward a couple of verses to verse number 10, and let's begin reading there. Isaiah 55:10. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it." You see, there is this irresistible supernatural power in God's Word. There is this irresistible supernatural power in God's Word. You see, God's Word, as it's put down here in this book, you have to understand, His word is basically his desires and his purposes. This morning prior to service, we were all in here during Sunday school and we were praying. And one of the things that we prayed corporately as is we prayed for his will to be done in this place. For his will to be done in every single individual life in this room. We prayed God's will in our own lives and in this body corporately, in children's ministry and youth ministry. We prayed God's will to be done in our government, in our nation, and in this world. I mean, Jesus Christ said, he said, pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we're right smack in the dab in the middle of where God wanted us to be praying this morning. But understand this, his word, his spoken word, his written word here, it is his desires and his purposes for this world that you and I live in, for these lives that you and I live right in the middle of. It's his desires and his purposes. And the great thing about this word, you know, years ago, some of you can remember this, you know, if you're 90 or 100 years old, the United States used to have all of their currency backed by gold. All of their currency was backed by gold. They have this big old pot somewhere, and in this big pot was enough gold that the United States government actually used to, they used to issue a silver certificate. So that you could go down and you could actually exchange that $1 bill for a dollar's worth of precious metal. Are you with me? Now, how many of you all know that that doesn't happen no more? Come on now. That doesn't happen no more. We have long since left that. In other words, our currency used to be backed by the wealth of the United States government. Are you all with me? Doesn't happen no more. I shouldn't be laughing. I should be sad, I guess. But now, whenever it comes to the Word of God, have you ever thought about this? This Word, which is to His desires and His purposes, this Word is backed by the power of heaven itself. Come on now. This is heaven-backed Word right here. So whenever you speak the Word of God, you're tapping into the limitless power of heaven. I mean, have you ever come to a place where you just sat down and you started figuring out how big God is? I mean, the one that I can't get my mind around is God did not have a beginning. You know, it's that proverbial question. You know, when did God start all of this stuff? When did He start? Well, the Bible tells us that He is the beginning and that He is the end. It's all wrapped up in Him and who He is. I mean, my mind just goes wacko whenever that begins to happen. But the other thing that I look at is I think how powerful God is. I mean, we look at the heavens and we look at the earth, we look at the majesty of all of His creation, and the Bible says that all He did to create all of this, the expanse of the universe, all He did was speak and it came into existence. He said, "Let there be," and it was. It's just amazing at how big God is. But to understand that the Word that He has written to you and I, His desires and His purposes for our life, for this world that you and I live in, understand this, it is backed by His limitless power. And so this morning, this whole message is about speaking the Word. I think oftentimes we should be speaking the Word, but instead we're silent. We should be speaking the Word, but instead we're silent. That's where I came up with this idea that we're too quiet. We need to be way more noisy. We need to be speaking the Word of God. You have to understand the Holy Spirit is that entity that God sent back to this earth, the third person in the Trinity. And He's the one that's got His sleeves rolled up, doing the will of the Father. But know this, He only operates by what He knows the best, and that is the Word of God. You and I can talk all day long, but until you and I invoke the Word, the Holy Spirit does not move. Come on. We can say, "I want, I want, I want," all day long, but until we begin to say, "This is what Your Word says, and Father God, You are bound to Your Word because it is Your desire, it is Your purposes here on this earth, I ask for Your Word to be done in my life." That's whenever the Holy Spirit begins to roll up His sleeves and says, "Man, I'm busy at the Watson House." And I've often wondered what it is that keeps us quiet. See, my parents always tried to keep me quiet when I was little. "So could you just be quiet for a little while?" Whew, man. And I was a good kid. I always just sat there quietly. Usually knitting or crocheting or doing something like that. Oftentimes, if I didn't knit or crochet, I just sat in the back seat of the car with my hands clasped in my lap, just staring up into the sky. No, my mouth hardly ever quit moving. And my parents, I know why they act funny now, because I drove them funny. But I've often wondered, what keeps us quiet whenever we should be speaking the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God into situations in our lives, in situations in our finances, our health, in our emotions. Why is it that we are so sometimes bound and not speak the Word of God? Well, folks, this is kind of it. I've come up with a couple of ideas, and it's like whenever I was in school and I knew the answer to what the teacher was asking, there was often times of I volunteered. Amen. You know, I'd raise my hand and say, call on me, I know it. But have you ever noticed whenever you're in that classroom and you didn't do your homework the night before and the teacher asks the question? How many of you are like me? Go, I hope she doesn't call on me because I don't know the answer. I think sometimes we don't speak the Word of God because of our lack of knowledge in the Word of God. There are things that we simply don't know as it applies to our lives. But understand this. God has said, this is the desires. These are the purposes that I have for your life. He's already told us that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's all here in the Word of God. Understand this. Whenever God put us here on this earth, He gave us everything we need in this book. It's everything is here. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is in this book. He's got a word for every situation or scenario that you could possibly go through in this life. And sometimes because we just simply don't know it is the reason why we keep our mouths closed. But I think there's another reason. You see, I think Satan fears this word. A few Wednesday nights ago, we were kind of finishing up our series of messages on the invisible. You know how that there is an invisible realm that exists right here in this room and everywhere. And it's just as real as the physical, visible realm that we are in the midst of. There are angels in this room. I got angels here with me today. They are here in this room taking care of my life. And there are angels here. There are spirit beings in this room. You can't see them, but they're here. And I was finishing up that series talking about invisible. And we were talking about speaking the Word of God. And we got to a place in speaking the Word of God and we began to talk about how that Satan fears the Word of God. But see, I have to preface that because I don't think that the enemy fears this Word of God as it lays on our coffee table or in the front seat of our car. You see, what I think he fears as far as it comes to the Word of God is whenever one of you and I begin to figure out how to use it. I think that's what he fears. I think he fears anybody who begins to get a hold of this Word, whether it's you young people or whether it's us that have gray hairs. You see, I believe whenever Satan sees somebody learning how to use the sword of the Spirit, I think it scares the liver plumb out of him. See, you could be walking along speaking the Word of God into a situation, speaking the Word of God to the enemy that is against your life. And if you step on something and it's kind of squishy, it's his liver. Or maybe not. And so this morning, you know, this is what it says in Isaiah. So my word, which goes from my mouth, will not return to me empty. So God says this word, whenever it is spoken, it comes back to him and it accomplishes what it set out to accomplish. The power of God's word, the might in God's word. In Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29, this is what it says. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? I mean, for just a moment, can we envision the word of God being a hammer? Because that's what God himself has likened his word to. It breaks the rock into pieces. One of the things I use a hammer for is to drive nails. Driving nails in the right place is a positive thing, amen? Getting your fingers out of the way so that you don't get your fingers, that's another positive thing. So if you had a hammer, the Word of God, and you could go around and you could drive these proverbial nails, Word of God nails in places and situations into your life, folks, understand that it's going to produce positive results. But I'll tell you something else about the hammer. And now, Pastor Rick and I love this kind of stuff. We've always, even from the time we were little bitty kids, we loved to tear things up. Man, if you could have only seen a few months ago whenever we remodeled the offices back here, I want to tell you, I think that's the most fun that Pastor Rick has ever had here at this church. We gave him a sledgehammer and said, knock down those block walls. Whew, man, it was a sight to behold. He had them down before I could ever even get in there and do anything. That was the sad part. I came around the corner ready to destroy something, and it was already gone. All the obstacles that were in the way, they lay on the floor. You see, what a hammer can do is it can overwhelm, it can obliterate, it can break down obstacles. Speak God's word faithfully, is what it says in Jeremiah. Speak God's word faithfully, and this is kind of the results. And all kinds of positive things are going to begin to happen. All kinds of obstacles and oppositions are going to begin to be broken down. Folks, that's the word of God. That's the power. You and I need to be a little more noisy than we have been. Folks, whenever there's an obstacle in your life, and I'm just kind of going to just take a poll here very quickly because they're always doing all kinds of polls. Gallup polls, Fox polls, CNN polls. This is a Pastor Watson poll. How many of you, if you were just dead straight honest this morning, would say that there is some type of an obstacle that is right smack dab in the middle of your life? Just quickly raise your hand, an obstacle. Well, we got quite a few people with obstacles. That's great. So now, let me just ask you this. It's great. It's great. How many of you in this room, another Pastor Watson poll, you need something positive to take. See, because, I mean, man, our lives are filled with so many negative things. I mean, some of these young people in this room, they write such wonderful prayer requests. Every Sunday they write prayer requests. And I'm so thankful just to be able to join with them and pray over their families, over their loved ones, over things that they're going through. They pray for one another. I get prayer requests that one kid's saying, man, you need to pray for this. Man, what love is in our youth group. How many of you need something positive to take place in your life? Yeah. That's good. Obstacles need something positive to take place. We see, folks, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we need to get a little bit more vocal with the Word of God. We need to begin to speak the Word of God into those situations in our life where we need a positive outcome. I got to tell you, in the area of finance, if you're lacking finance, you need to begin to speak to your finances. You need to begin to understand the principles of biblical financial management. That's Crown Financial. Little plug for Crown. But I'll tell you this, as you begin to do your finances in a biblical way, you understand that the enemy can still come against them. And so whenever you begin to do it in a biblical way and the enemy is nevertheless touching your finances, you begin to speak over them. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over my finances. And then you quote the Word of God. There's all kinds of words here that you can begin to speak over the situation of finance. And I got to tell you something. Man, whenever you have something positive happen in the realm of your finances, it'll just tickle you to death. Come on. Man, you go, I never dreamed I was going to get this rebate from the company. I can't believe this. This $300 is such an unexpected surprise. Okay, I'm going to have to up it for a few of you. This $30,000 is such an unexpected surprise. Come on. Gee whiz. All of our youth are down here saying, 300, yeah! I mean, you adults are going, 300? I'm so in debt now, I'll never get out. See, the Word of God is like a hammer. Positive circumstances are going to begin to take place whenever we begin to drive those nails in. Say, Lord God, this is your Word. I speak your Word into this situation. And obstacles are going to begin to be broken down. Folks, I've got to tell you, there's all kinds of obstacles that lay in our way, and we have to begin to use the Word of God over those obstacles. I mean, Jesus himself gave us such a wonderful example of speaking the word of God. Three times Jesus spoke to Satan himself. Satan came and tempted the Son of God. Jesus, perhaps at one of the weakest moments in his life, he'd come through a 40-day fast and his body is weak. And Satan came to him and began to tempt him. And three times as Satan tempted him, Jesus said, "It is written." You know what it means whenever Jesus says it's written? Somewhere in this book, you'll find exactly what it was that he said to the enemy. Are you following me? See, I told you a while ago, Satan doesn't fear the word. He fears somebody who uses the word. You start getting vocal with the word of God, I'm telling you, Satan, you're going to step on that soft thing and go, "What in the world?" Oh, it's his liver. Folks, this morning, I just can't say it any more emphatically, but there is power in the spoken word of God. I mean, just in our mouth, the Bible says there is power in our mouth. Blessing and cursing. That's what it says. You have the power in your mouth to bless somebody. You have the power in your mouth to curse somebody. In fact, the Bible goes one step further and says, in your mouth is the power of life and death. Whoa! The power of life and death, the power of blessing and cursing. But whenever we put the power of the Word of God in our mouth, understand this, you are releasing the desires and the purposes of God into your situations, into your obstacles. There is power in the spoken Word of God. Man. No one in this room can deny the power of Jesus Christ whenever he was here on this earth. I mean, one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of the spoken word of God, Jesus speaking. You see, anytime Jesus spoke, it was the spoken word of God. Here is his friend, his compadre, Lazarus, dead inside a tomb. He had come to the place where his body had already began to decay. And Jesus stood at the top of that tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come out." Can you imagine what that must have been like for Lazarus? Because Lazarus had already died, and you see Lazarus is already in paradise. He's there with Abraham and Moses and Isaac. Are you with me? He's down there with all the saints of God. He's mingling. Man, he's chewing on a drumstick. Are you there with me? Sweet tea in his hand. He said, "Man, I made paradise." And all of a sudden, it's like a loud speaker in paradise, and Lazarus hears his name. "Lazarus, come out." He drops his sweet tea, he drops his chicken leg, and he begins to make his way back to that. Are you there with me? The power of the spoken word of God resurrected Lazarus from the dead. I'm telling you, folks, you and I are way too quiet. I mean, let's back up just a little bit and understand this. There was a time that came whenever there was nothing. Are you following? Everything that you and I see, that something, there was nothing before there was something. Man, that is profound. I'm going to think about that for a little bit. Whew. There was nothing before there was something. And God the Father decided to, through His Son Jesus Christ, the Word of God, create. And the Bible says way back in Genesis, God said, "Let there be." Shh. Let there be. And you understand this, where there was nothing at one time, all of this, you know, I've actually went as far back to think, does God have to create nothing before he can create something? I knew I shouldn't have said that, because some of you are going, "Oh, that's hurt." All of a sudden, God said, "Let there be," and light and sun and moon and stars and animals and birds and fish, all of them came into being from God's spoken word. You see, folks, this is the problem that you and I have. We've got some Lazaruses out there that we need to resurrect. And the only way we're going to resurrect those Lazaruses is to begin to speak God's word over those Lazaruses. Devil, come out, because you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We got to begin to speak. We got to begin to speak over diseased bodies, cancerous bodies, and say, cancer, leave this body, because by the stripes that Jesus took on his back, this child of God is healed. We got to begin to be noisier than we have been. Finances, come into line, because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I mean, his word is powerful. Let me say it again. There is great power in the spoken word of God. And we're just too quiet. Some of us are quiet because we don't know the answer on the test. But that can be remedied. I'm telling you, just a few quick times reading this word and getting a book into us, all of a sudden we'll become proficient in the word of God. We'll understand what it is that needs to be spoken into that situation. What it is that needs to be spoken to that obstacle in Jesus' name. And then we begin to speak it. You say, well, how many times do we speak it? Enough times until our faith is increased to a point to where that mountain is cast into the sea in Jesus' name. I mean, the word of God is powerful. Listen to this. This is John 8:51. It says, I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Woo, baby. Man, you talk about the mighty power that is in God's word. If we keep his word, you and I are never going to see death. Not just know his word, but to keep his word. That word says, I'll raise him up. Because folks, if you and I live long enough without Jesus coming back, it is a sure thing. We're going to experience death, but understand, this is a death that has already been overcome by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, if you're born again and you're blood bought, understand this, you should never fear death. You should look at death and say, hey, baby, that's whenever I get to go be with my King. Hallelujah. I've been there in the hospital rooms. I've been there in the homes whenever I've watched saints of God that are filled with His power, filled with His word, filled with the knowledge of what they're fixing to step into. And I got to tell you, whenever a saint goes home to be with Jesus Christ, it is not a sad occasion. It is a powerful occasion, because we understand that death has been conquered, that Jesus Christ has raised him up. Oh, death, where is your sting? Ha ha, you ain't got it no more, because Jesus took the stinger out of death. Amen. Whosoever lives and believes in me is never going to die. That word says that you and I are going to be with him forever. We're going to live with him forever. We're going to reign with him forever. Just a little bit further back in that chapter, John chapter 8, verses 30 through 32, this is what it says. And he spoke these words. Many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Wait a minute, I got to read that again. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. His word will actually set you free. I like that. I mean, man, if you're running around with some kind of something that you need to be set free from, his word has the power to set you free. One of the most amazing moments in my life was being able to pray with someone that had been drug addicted to heroin for the better part of his adult life. And this heroin had literally ruined him as a human being. I mean, it had taken his mind, it had taken his health, and he was one of the most absolute, horrible, conditions that I had ever seen in a drug abuser. He couldn't talk and hold a conversation in any kind of relevance whatsoever. His mind was just all over the place. It was very, very sad. But I'll never forget the day that he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that was so powerful, man. He actually knelt down next to a bench in one of these bus stops. You know, the bus stops that come, you know, in the public transit systems. It's kind of a glass little booth. And he got down on his knees and he accepted Jesus Christ. And then my partner and I, who were out witnessing that day, we just got this bright idea. You know, just the light bulb just kind of went on. Think. I wonder what would happen if we prayed and spoke the word over his mind and his life. And now, I'm talking just a minute or two after he's been born again. He's just weeping on the ground. He's just weeping. Because it felt so good to be free from sin. But I got to tell you, these next few moments, we laid our hands on him and we began to pray over his addiction. And over all that, the alcohol, the drugs, and the combination of a lifestyle lived in an unbelievably uncontrolled manner had done to him. And I have to tell you that the Word of God set him free. He did not have to go through any kind of drug rehab at all. Because God completely took that addiction away from him. There was no withdrawals. You know how severely that can be sometimes. There was nothing of that sort. And the mind that he had that was completely wasted, that he could not carry on a decent conversation, hold any kind of train of thought, God instantaneously healed his mind. You see, what happened there was the Word of God, because that's what we prayed. We didn't step up and begin to lay hands on him and think about things that we wanted to happen in him. We prayed the Word of God over his life. And all of a sudden, the power of that Word, because I've told you several times in this room, there is great power in the spoken Word of God. But if you have an addiction, if you have something that you're struggling with, you got a bad habit, man, you can speak to that habit. Say, I don't need you because the Son of God has set me free. You can speak to that behavior and say, you crazy behavior that has caused me all of this grief in my life. You have no more control over me because Jesus Christ has set me free. Any kind of uncontrollable habit, I am more than a conqueror to him who has loved me. In John 17:17, this is Jesus. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. I'm going to take another poll. Just quick. Because I just want to see if some of you kind of face the same life I face sometimes. But have you ever come to a place in your walk with Jesus Christ where you're trying your best to do what you know you should be doing, and you just foul up? You know, not because you want to, because I don't want to, but just because you do. And it seems like the more you don't want to do what's wrong, sometimes you do what's wrong. Are you there with me? So quick poll, how many? Okay. And for those that didn't raise your hand, liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, it's that... Oh, sometimes you just hit yourself in the forehead and say, J.D., why did you act that way? Why did you say that? Why? This is what Psalm 119:11 says. Remember, the spoken word of God, the power, the life in the word of God. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God in our hearts, it has this powerful antidote to sin. Are you there with me? I have hidden your word in my heart, God, that I might not sin against you. Temptation, it comes through our eyes, through our ears. But I have made a covenant with my eyes, O God, There's the temptation of pride. God exalts the humble. Temptation of the flesh. God will, with temptation, always make a way of escape. This is the word. A temptation to be dishonest. Psalm 51:6, it says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts of myself. Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart. Folks, that's the antidote to sin. In Acts 10:44 through 46, it says this. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. And now down to 46, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speak the word of God to people, and that is what opens their hearts for the new dimension, oftentimes, that they will never understand without the spoken word of God. The dimension of the Holy Spirit. Tell people what God's word said about the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks back, we had an opportunity to preach the gospel to some young people out at our camp. And I had the great privilege to stand before them and speak. And I have to tell you, on Saturday night, I preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I have to tell you this, I preached it differently than I've ever preached it before. And if any of you were there, you remember what I did. I went from one scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture. Just one after the other, all night long, I went through scriptures. You see, whenever you begin to tell people what God's Word says about the Holy Spirit, the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, I believe that it opens the hearts of people. Peter was still speaking these words, and the Holy Spirit fell upon all that heard the Word of God. What was so amazing that night when we were ministering to the kids as they'd come up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some of the kids were baptized in the Holy Spirit before they were ever even prayed for. I looked at him and I said, man, you already got it. Go for it. Come on now. We've seen this acted out right before our eyes. There is power in the spoken word of God. While Peter was still speaking, I'm going to read it again. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. See, I think we got to tell people what the Word of God says about divine healing, prophecies, miracles. What the Word says. Not what the denomination of the Assemblies of God says, or not what the evangelical church says, but what the Word of God says about it. It says, while he was still speaking these words, which was the Word of God, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Tell people from God's Word to pray for and to expect the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power in their lives. I'm just going through a bunch of scriptures this morning. I'm just giving you examples of whenever the power and the amazing demonstration of God's Word was worked out right before our eyes. Lazarus, come forth! Peter speaking to these people, all of a sudden they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. God opening his mouth and says, let there be. I have to tell you, in my own life, I can look back and I can know that there's been times where just some little bitty words have changed my whole destiny. I can remember 34 years ago at the altar saying yes to Jesus Christ. Forgive me and come into my life. A very simple prayer was prayed. I have to tell you, that's the biggest change I have ever had in my entire life, just from some spoken words. The next biggest change was whenever I was sitting on my mother and father-in-law's couch, and at that time they weren't my mother and father-in-law. And I looked into my girlfriend, which is now my bride. I looked into her eyes and I said, will you marry me? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm not kidding. I'm being for reals. I I joked around a lot, and this is one of them times I didn't want her to think I was joking. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I'm being for reals. Will you marry me? And she said, I'm not kidding. I'm being for reals. I'll marry you. Woo! Will you marry me? Man, that was the little words. It just changed my life. And then just a few days after I proposed, we're standing in front of the preacher. And the preacher says, will you? And I said, I do. Two words. I do. Whew. Saying yes to Jesus, asking my wife to marry me, saying I do to those vows. You see how my life has changed? I have four kids now. Good. I'm a grandfather. Life is good. Come on. I'm born again. I'm blood bought. I'm on my way to heaven. Man, my life has been turned upside down by these little bitty words that were spoken out of this mouth. Folks, understand, if we began to speak the Word of God into circumstances and situations in our life, we drive that proverbial nail and we say, by the Word of God, you are going to change. We're too quiet. We just walk around, well, que sera, sera. You know what that means? It means you don't care. Whatever will be. My hind leg. Let me tell you something. Someone comes against my family. It's not whatever will be. I'm taking it down in the name of Jesus Christ. Through the power and the might of His Word. I'm not going to keep silent. I'm going to take this Word and speak it into that situation. An obstacle comes and stands against this ministry, my family. It comes against anything that is mine in Jesus' name. I will not be silent. We're just too quiet. And I know. Our society says, hey, shh. It's kind of like we've been at the library for the last 50 years. I want to tell you something, man. Whenever Madeleine Murray O'Hara took a Supreme Court case all the way up there to Washington, and it was decided that public schools could no longer have prayer in it, that's the day that you and I should have began to scream from the top of our lungs. But instead, we acted like we were in the library. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. We could have changed the spiritual tide of that decision if we as believers would have stood up and say, hold on a minute, it ain't going to be that way in the United States of America. And little by little we've acted like we live at the library for heaven's sake. Now abortion is legal and gay marriage is all over the United States legal in states. And folks, I'm telling you, I have nothing against anybody who is homosexual, but I have a problem with the lifestyle that they live. I love people. And again, we're not going to legislate anything out of the United States of America. We're going to change it one heartbeat at a time. But do this. Understand it takes people getting up on your hind feet and saying, in the name of Jesus and by the power of this book right here, I stand against the principalities and the powers that have come against this nation, that have come against the minds of our young people. I stand against them in the name of Jesus. We're just too quiet. We're just in the library. We just can't be noisy. You have to understand, my grandmother was a spirit-baptized woman of God. My mom's mom. My wife and I, whenever we got married, I hate to tell you this story, but it's good. We went to visit her at her home. And in the middle of the night, my grandmother got an obscene phone call from some nutty buddy that lived out there. And I have no idea what he's saying to her on the phone. But in the middle of the night, Renee and I are sound asleep, man. I didn't know it, but my grandma's just like one room over on the phone. And all of a sudden, we hear hollering like you have never heard hollering. And I mean, I sat straight up in that bed. I jumped to my feet. I didn't know what was going on because I just came out of a coma. I run into the room where my grandma's at, and she's up on her feet. She's got the phone in her hand, and she's got one of these cords that's about 40 foot long. She's running around the living room like this because she's a little bitty, and she's speaking in tongues to the top of her voice. Come on. I mean screaming in tongues to the top of her voice. I don't know who it was on the other end of that phone, but I bet they didn't call back. Come on. The thing is, you see, I can remember my grandmother speaking like that over all kinds of situations in her life. She had a sick dog one time, and she went out and she began to speak the word over that sick dog. The dog's name was Papers. And she began to pray over that dog's life. And I got to tell you, that dog needed to be shot and put down. But God touched that crazy dog and healed it. And Papers lived till it was about 60. My grandma knew how to speak the word. And I'm telling you something. Man, she was mild-mannered by day. But whenever the Spirit of God came upon her, I'm telling you, she'd go, I just step back and let her go. Man, I just go, I didn't understand all that whenever I was growing up, but understand this, the Word of God, whenever it is spoken out of our mouths, it has great power in it. In Romans 10:8, it says, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. In Matthew 8:7-8, it says, and Jesus said to them, I'll come and heal him. This is the story about the centurion who had the sick servant. And he's already asked Jesus to come and just heal my servant. My servant's almost dead. The centurion answered him and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. You see, this centurion in the Bible understood this. He asked Jesus to speak the word of faith and he knew that his servant would be healed. Hey, Jesus, you don't need to come under my house. We haven't cleaned it in a couple of days. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. I'm glad Jesus didn't pretend like he was in a library whenever he was here on this earth. Man, how do you think Jesus spoke the word? I bet it was with authority because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were always looking at him going, man, this guy, he speaks like he's got authority. Speak the word. My servant will be healed. Peter understood this. You know, the Apostle Peter followed in Jesus' footsteps. In Acts chapter 9, verses 33 through 36, this is what it says, or 34. It says, then he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. What did Peter do? Peter kind of condensed several scriptures into 5 words. Jesus the Christ heals you. Now, how many of you young people have ever heard that term before? Arise and make your bed. How many of you have done it? Peter said it. He says, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. And he began to make his bed, straightening the sheets out, fluffing the pillow up, making those military corners or hospital corners. You're there. All you kids know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Paul understood it. Paul encouraged his son in the Lord, Timothy. He said, Timothy, preach the word. The all-powerful word of God. Folks, he gave us this book. And we got to start using it. We really do. I encourage you to continue to pray over circumstances and situations in your home, in your life, your ministry, whatever it may be that's coming against you. Continue to pray over them circumstances and situations and impedances, barriers, those blockades that are standing right in the middle of your roadway. But I will tell you this, along with prayer, we need to add speaking the word of God. We need to get a little bit more noisy. Speaking the all-powerful word of God. Speak it out of our mouth. Speak it. And then expect. Speak and expect. You see, Father, I'm holding up your word to you. And I'm fixing to speak it over the situation in my home. In my finances. I'm going to speak this word over my children's lives, my grandchildren's lives. I'm going to speak this word over my finances, my health. I'm going to speak this word and then I'm going to expect it to return to you and accomplish what you desire for it to accomplish. I started out with that scripture. That his word, whenever it comes back to him, it will have accomplished what his desire, what his plan was for that word. Speak God's word. And then expect that infinite power that is in that word to bring forth astounding results. See, Jared, if you'll come and help me close this. This is kind of my last comment here. Maybe. I encourage you to keep praying. Keep praying for a financial breakthrough. Keep praying for a health breakthrough. Keep praying for a breakthrough with an addiction or a habit. But along with that prayer, you start finding the word as it is written in this book, and you start speaking that word over that situation. My finances are healed in the name of Jesus. Because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. My finances are healed because my God is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. My finances are healed because my God is going to give into my bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will my God supply for me. And don't be all hung up on that bosom thing. All that means is you got this big old apron and you reach down and you pick up a corner here and you pick up a corner here and you make this big old pocket, if you would, with that apron. God says, I'm going to give into your apron till it's pressed down, shaken together, and then running over. That's what he says. That's why my finances are healed. And see, you can begin to take any one of the difficult situations that you're in the midst of this morning. And folks, I got to tell you something. You can come out of the library anytime you want. And you can quit being in there with people going, shh. Man, I want to tell you something. If you're up here at this altar and you decide to speak the word, let her rip! Let her rip! Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I speak your word back to you. I speak your word over this situation in my home. It's out of control, but in Jesus' name, it's not going to stay that way, because the word says everything is coming into order. You see, folks, we're just too quiet. We're just too quiet. You kids are too quiet, for heaven's sake. You're too quiet. I want to tell you something, young people. This is a word for you. It's not just for the adults in here. You start speaking your word, speaking that word over your school and over your classmates. You start speaking the word of God. Because the word works. And I just got to tell you something. We got to get educated in this book so that we can pass the test. Whenever something's thrown our way, we go, oh, wait a minute. I got a word for that. Hang on just a second. Right here, Jeremiah, where is it? I'll find it. And you go to that word and you say, I'm going to tell you what's fixing to happen. This circumstance and situation that is just raised its old ugly head here in this home is fixing to bow its knee to this word, because this word is power. And you speak the word, and then you speak the word, and then you speak the word, and you believe for astounding results. See, don't get all hung up on you, because you don't have anything to do with this. It's not your power. It's not your ability. It is God that is going to perform His word. In Jeremiah, it says that He watches over His word to perform it. That means He's looking at you guys. And He's waiting on you to speak His word. And He's going to say, hey, that Jesus kid, watch this. I'm going to answer some of that man's prayers. That Pastor Nathan, that crazy little baptizing pastor. I mean, Pastor Nathan, you live all by yourself. Your mom's not here, but have you ever heard that? Arise and make your bed. From your dad. I just wonder if we went over there right now, what it would be like. It's good this morning, Sunday. Okay. Since Nathan doesn't have, you know, his parents here to take care of him, Pastor Rick and I feel obligated, don't we? We feel obligated. You have a health situation, you have an emotional situation, you have a financial situation, I'm telling you, it's like driving nails. It's like shattering rocks with a hammer. That's what His word's like. I want to tell you, I am convinced with every fiber of who I am that this word works, because I've seen its power. I am, however, convinced of this also, that Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from speaking it. Because I told you earlier, what he fears the most, it's not this word. It is this word in your hand and you using it. That's what he fears the most. And the reason that I can emphatically say that is because I'll tell you who Satan, I already gave the answer away. I'll tell you who Satan is most scared of, and that is Jesus Christ. And whenever we start acting like Jesus, that's whenever Satan starts packing his bags and running. Come on. So this morning, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just for a moment, to shut yourself in. It's just you and Jesus. I'm not going to make you do much here. I'm just going to ask you to do just a little bit. I'm going to ask you about two things in your life right now that you could speak the Word of God into. Maybe it's a situation where you just need to drive that nail. You know, that you just need positive results. You just need to drive that nail. Or perhaps it's some kind of obstacle that literally needs to be shattered into an oblivion. I'm going to ask you to think of two things right now that you could come out of that real cold and quiet library and you could begin to speak the Word of God with faith and confidence into either one of these situations that you right now in your heart you're thinking about them. Young person, it could be for you. It could be something that you're really struggling with spiritually. It could be a bad habit that you know you need to get rid of. It could be a situation with the way you use your mouth. Perhaps there's disrespect sometimes that comes out of it. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I will tell you this, that if you'll begin to speak the Word of God into this situation, you will see positive results come from it. If there's something that literally needs to be broken down, some kind of obstacle, I promise you this, the Word of God will break it into small pieces. But for everyone else in this room, I just want to encourage you to take these two things that right now are coming to the top of the list, if you would, and begin to speak the Word of God. Begin to quit being so cotton-picking quiet. Start writing the scriptures down on a 3x5 piece of paper and taking them with you everywhere you go. Put them in front of you in the car. Put them in your Bible. Take them places. And every time you see that scripture, speak it into that situation. Every time that scenario comes to your consciousness, speak the Word of God into it. These two things. And I'll tell you what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to get you a victory. I'm trying to get you to a place where the Word of God overcomes the barrier, overcomes the difficulty in your life. You see, this morning I started our Sunday school in a very definitive way because I wanted to carry it all the way into sanctuary this morning. I asked for testimonies this morning in Sunday school. And we had some people who raised their hand and they testified of the good things that God's been doing in their lives. But with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this is kind of where I'm at. I want to bring this church to a place where every single one of you, at any given week in time, you could raise your hand and you could say, Pastor, I have a testimony this morning of the goodness and the power and the might of Almighty God. He has come into my finances. He has come into my health. He has come into my home. He has taken a hold of my children's lives. He has taken a hold of that confused mind in that loved one that I've been praying for. I began to speak the word over each one of these situations. And I'm telling you, Pastor, I have a testimony this morning. My God came through for me. You see, that's my heartbeat this morning. I want you to be victorious. I don't want you having these things in your life that so weigh you down, so discourage you, so take the life out of you. God has given us His Word, and it is a powerful two-edged sword by which we can defeat the enemy with. Speak the Word of God and expect the infinite power of that Word to bring forth astounding results. Now that you've got those two things in your heart, this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats wherever you are and bring them to the front right now. Just begin to move wherever you are. You got two things, and if you feel comfortable with coming to this altar, I'm just going to ask you to come. Just step out of your seats and just begin to come. just begin to come. You got two things on your heart, and these two things, you're going to kind of run a little test in these next few weeks. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. I'm going to read the scripture that we started with this morning. All of you at the altar, please listen carefully. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God's word accomplishes His desires and His purposes. So right now, if you're at this altar, I want you to begin to speak the word. No matter what it is that you have, that you're dealing with, I want you to begin to speak God's word over. You're not going to pray right here. You're just going to begin to speak the word. In Jesus' name, be healed. Because by the stripes that He has bore on His back, we are healed. He has sent His word and He has healed us. He has delivered us from our destructions. If it's finances, if it's your health, if it's some kind of problem or difficulty that you're dealing with, I'm telling you, the power of the spoken word is awesome. If there's a Lazarus that you need to resurrect in your life, begin to speak life into it. If there's a ministry that has gone dormant in you, if there's something that God has brought into your life and He has directed you, but right now it's just dead, I'm telling you, begin to speak life to it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Live in Jesus' name. Father, this morning, we have heard Your word. We have been challenged by Your Spirit. And Lord, this morning, without hesitation, Lord, we all have difficulty. We all have need. We all have trials, Lord God. We are all facing obstacles, Lord God. But Father, Your word is as a hammer, and it breaks the rock into pieces. Your word is as fire. And Father, this day, Lord, we take Your word and we apply it to our lives. We are no longer going to remain silent, Lord God. But Father, we are going to take Your word and we are going to speak it over situations, over scenarios and circumstances. We're going to speak to obstacles, Lord, and they will come down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bless You, Father. I think it would be very appropriate to end this service by thanking Him for His word. He went to a lot of trouble to put this thing together for us. Father, we thank You for Your word this day, Lord. Father, we recognize it as life to us, Lord God. We recognize it as the power of the living God right here. Father, we thank You for the painstaking way that You put all of this together for us, Lord God. And we thank You, Lord God, that we don't have to abide in this word on our own. But Father, You have given us the Spirit of the living God to teach us, to bring us in to the truth that lies in this word. So Father, this morning we bless You and thank You, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that You will make the word of God live in us. God, that You will bring us to the scriptures that apply to our lives today. You'll bring us to the word, Father God, that we can use in these circumstances, these situations in our life. We, Father, ask You that Your word would begin to live inside of us, O God. Live as a fire, Father, that cannot be contained. It cannot be quenched, Father God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we are people who stand upon the power and the might of Your word, knowing, Father God, that Your word, as it has proceeded from Your mouth, it will not go back to You empty, Father God. It will not go back to You without accomplishing what it is that You desire for it to accomplish. Father, we believe that whenever we speak Your word, that it will succeed in the matter by which we send it into, Father God. And we thank You for the power of Your word. Hallelujah.